KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quintos, Hannah, and Tales.
Hi, my name is Lisa Vest, and I am from the Farmington Public Library. I'm going to be reading books for Quintos today. The first book I will be reading is Harry McClary's Caterwaul Caper by Linley Dodd. With a twitch of his tail and a purposeful paw, down by the river crept Scarface Claw. He woke up a lizard, he startled a bee, and he bothered a blackbird high in a tree. Higher and higher he sneakily snuck, but up in the branches he suddenly stuck. "Wow!" he yowled. Harry McClary was eating his meal. Jelly meat, biscuits, a snippet of veal. All of a sudden, he heard a strange sound, a yowling, a wailing, that echoed around. "Yep, yep, yep," said Harry McClary, and off he went. Hercules Morse was asleep in a glade, with his tail in the sun and his head in the shade. Then came the sound that echoed around. "Row!" "Whoop!" said Hercules Morse, and off he went. Bottomley Potts was rolling about, with his feet in the air and his tongue hanging out. Then came the sound that echoed around. "Row! Row! 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 Row!" said Bottomley Potts, and off he went. Muffin McClay was having a bath in the old wooden tub at the side of the path. Then came the sound that echoed around. "Row!"
"Ruff! Ruff!"
said Muffin McClay, and off he went. Bitzer Maloney was having a scratch as he lay in the sun in the strawberry patch. Then came the sound that echoed around. "Row!"
"Wow, wow, 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 wow!"
said Bitzer Maloney, and off he went. Schnitzel von Krumm was digging a hole in his favorite spot by the passion fruit pole. Then came the sound that echoed around. "Row!" "Yip, yip!" said Schnitzel von Krumm, and off he went. Puffing and panting, impatient to see, together they came to the foot of the tree. They sniffed and they snuffled, they bustled around, and they saw what was making the terrible sound. "Yip, yip!" said Schnitzel von Krumm.
"Bow, wow, wow, wow!"
said Bitzer Maloney.
"Ruff, ruff!"
said Muffin McClay.
"Ruff, ruff, 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 ruff!"
said Bottomley Potts.
"Woof!"
said Hercules Morse.
"Yep, yep, yep!"
said Harry McClary. And
"Row!"
said Scarface Claw. The din was so awful that uphill and down you could hear the cacophony all over town. Miss Plum brought a ladder and climbed up the tree. She rescued old Scarface. At last he was free. With a flick of his tail and a shake of each paw, off at a gallop went Scarface Claw. And back to their business and Donaldson's dairy went all of the others with Harry McClary. The next book I will be reading is Harry McClary's Rumpus at the Vet by Linley Dodd. Down at the vet's there were all kinds of pets, with troubles and woes from their ears to their toes, sniffles and snuffles and doses of flu, itches and stitches, and tummy ache, too. so many animals watchful and wary, and Harry McClary from Donaldson's Dairy. There were miserable dogs, cantankerous cats, a rabbit with pimples and rickety rats, mice with the sneezes, a goat in a rage, and Cassie the cockatoo locked in her cage. Cassie had claws and a troublesome beak. She saw something twitch, so she gave it a tweak. She pulled it so hard that she plucked out a hair, and Harry McClary jumped high in the air. A bowl full of mice was bundled about. Over it went, and the mice tumbled out. Four fussy budgies with Grandmother Goth flew out of their cage when the bottom dropped off. Grizzly Macduff, with a bottle brush tail, leaped out of his basket and over the rail. The Papadum kittens from Parkinson Place squeezed through an opening and joined in the chase. Barnacle Beasley forgot he was sore. He bumbled and clattered all over the floor. Then Custard the Labrador, Muffin McClay, and Noodle the Poodle decided to play. They skidded and scampered, they slid all around, and bottles and boxes came tumbling down. What a kerfluffle, a scramble of paws, a tangle of bodies, a jumble of jaws, with squawking and yowling and mournful meow. They really were making a terrible row. Out came the vet. "I'll fix them," she said. But she tripped on a leash and fell over instead. Geezer the goat crashed into a cage. He butted the bars in a thundering rage. Cassie got mad. She rattled her beak. She saw something twitch, so she gave it a tweak. And that was Harry McClary's Rumpus at the Vet by Lindley Dodd. The next book I will be reading is Harry McClary and Zachary Quack by Lindley Dodd. It was drowsily warm, with dozens of bees lazily buzzing through flowers and trees. Harry McClary decided to choose a space in the shade for his afternoon snooze. He dozily dreamed as he lay on his back when, pittery pattery, skittery scattery, zip, round the corner came Zachary Quack, who wanted to frolic and footle and play, but Harry McClary skedaddled away. Over the lawn and asparagus bed went Harry McClary to hide in the shed. He lurked in the shadows, all dusty and black. But, pittery-pattery, skittery-scattery, zip! Round the corner came Zachary Quack. Out of the garden and into the trees jumped Harry McClary with springs in his knees. He hid in the grass at the side of the track. But, pittery-pattery, skittery-scattery, zip! Round the corner came Zachary Quack. Down to the river, through willow and reed, raced Harry McClary at double the speed. Into the water he flew with a smack. But, pittery-pattery, skittery-scattery, zip! Round the corner came Zachary Quack, who dizzily dived in the craziest way, whirling and swirling in showers of spray. Harry McClary was off in a flash, a flurry of bubbles, a dog paddle splash. He swam to the side and floundered about. He tried and he tried, but he couldn't climb out. Scrabbling upward and slithering back when, pittery-pattery, skittery-scattery, zip! Through the water came Zachary Quack, who sped round a corner, and showing the way, led Harry McClary up, up, and away. Then, soggy and shivering, back up the track, went Harry McClary with Zachary Quack. It was drowsily warm, with dozens of bees lazily buzzing through flowers and trees. Harry McClary decided to choose a place in the shade for his afternoon snooze. He dozily dreamed as he lay on his back, tucked up together with Zachary Quack. And that was Harry McClary and Zachary Quack by Lindley Dodd. The next book I will be reading today is Goldilocks and the Three Bears, retold and illustrated by Jan Brett. Once upon a time, there were three bears who lived together in a house of their own in a wood. One of them was a little, small, wee bear, and one was a middle-sized bear, and the other was a great, huge bear. They each had a bowl for their porridge, a little bowl for the little, small, wee bear, a middle-sized bowl for the middle-sized bear, and a great, huge bowl for the great, huge bear. And they each had a chair to sit in, a little chair for the little, small, wee bear, a middle-sized chair for the middle-sized bear, and a great, huge chair for the great, huge bear. And they each had a bed to sleep in, a little bed for the little, small, wee bear, a middle-sized bed for the middle-sized bear, and a great, huge bed for the great, huge bear. One day, after they had made their porridge for breakfast and poured it into their porridge bowls, they walked out into the woods while the porridge was cooling. And while they were walking, a little girl named Goldilocks came to their house. First, she looked in at the window. Then, she peeped in at the keyhole. And seeing no one was at home, she lifted the latch. The door opened before her, and in she went. How pleased Goldilocks was when she saw the steaming porridge on the table. The sweet smell of porridge with roasted nuts, honey, and berries filled the room. It was so tempting that Goldilocks set about helping herself. First, she tasted the porridge of the great huge bear, but it was too hot. Then she tasted the porridge of the middle-sized bear, but it was too cold. And then she tried the porridge of the little, small, wee bear, and it was neither too hot nor too cold. It was just right. She liked it so much that she ate it all up. Then Goldilocks sat down in the chair of the great, huge bear, but it was too hard for her. Then she sat down in the chair of the middle-sized bear, but it was too soft for her. And then she sat down in the chair of the little, small, wee bear. And this chair was neither too hard nor too soft, but just right. So Goldilocks seated herself in it, and there she sat until the bottom of the chair gave way. And down she came, plump, upon the floor. Then Goldilocks went upstairs to the bedroom in which the three bears slept. First, she lay down upon the bed of the great huge bear, but that was too high at the head for her. Next, she lay down upon the soft bed of the middle-sized bear, but that was too high at the foot for her. Then she lay down upon the bed of the little, small, wee bear, and that was neither too high at the head nor foot, but just right. So she covered herself up comfortably and fell fast asleep. By this time, the three bears thought their porridge would be cool enough to eat, so they returned home for breakfast. Now Goldilocks had left the spoon of the great huge bear standing in his porridge.
"Somebody has been eating my porridge," said the great huge bear in his great rough, gruff voice.
And when the middle-sized bear looked at hers, she saw that the spoon was standing in it too. "Somebody has been at my porridge," said the middle-sized bear in her middle voice. Then the little small wee bear looked at his bowl, and the spoon was in the porridge bowl, but the porridge was all gone. "Somebody has been at my porridge and has eaten it all up," said the little small wee bear in his little small wee voice. Upon this, the three bears, seeing that someone had entered their house and eaten up little small wee bear's breakfast, began to look about them. Now Goldilocks had not put the hard cushion straight when she rose from the chair of the great huge bear.
"Somebody has been sitting in my chair," said the great huge bear in his great rough, gruff voice.
And Goldilocks had crumpled the soft cushion of the middle-sized bear. "Somebody has been sitting in my chair," said the middle-sized bear in her middle voice. And you know what Goldilocks had done to the third chair. "Somebody has been sitting in my chair and has sat the bottom right out of it," said the little small wee bear in his little small wee voice. Then the bears thought it necessary that they should make a further search, so they went upstairs to their bedroom. Now Goldilocks had pulled the pillow of the great huge bear out of its place.
"Somebody has been lying in my bed," said the great huge bear in his great rough, gruff voice.
And Goldilocks had pulled the cover of the middle-sized bear out of its place. "Somebody has been lying in my bed," said the middle-sized bear in her middle voice. And then the little, small, wee bear came to look at his bed. There was Goldilocks, sleeping peacefully, her long, shiny braids spread across his pillow. Little, small, wee bear just stared at her for a moment and didn't say anything. But then he cried,
"Somebody has been lying in my bed, and here she is!"
Goldilocks had heard in her sleep the great, rough, gruff voice of the great huge bear and the middle voice of the middle-sized bear. But it was only as if she had heard someone speaking in a dream. But when she heard the little, small, wee voice of the little small wee bear, it was so sharp and so shrill and so like her own that it awakened her at once. Up she started, and when she saw the three bears on one side of the bed, she tumbled herself off the other and ran to the window. Out Goldilocks jumped and ran away as fast as she could run, not looking behind her until she was very far away. And what happened to Goldilocks afterwards, no one can tell, but the three bears never saw anything more of her. The next story I'm going to read comes from a book of Aesop's Fables by Jerry Pinkney. This one is called The Shepherd Boy and the Wolf. Every day, a poor shepherd sent his son to take their few sheep out to pasture.
"We can't afford to lose even one," he would tell the boy. "So keep a close eye on them. And if you see a wolf, shout as loudly as you can, and the whole village will come to drive the wolf away."
Day after day, the shepherd's boy sat alone in the meadow.
"I wish a wolf would come," he said to himself one day. "At least then something would happen."
Then the boy had an idea.
Jumping to his feet, he cried, "Wolf! Wolf!" as loudly as he could. Sure enough, The shepherd and the farmer, the milkmaid and the baker, all came running. But when they reached the meadow, all they found was the shepherd's boy laughing at their trouble.
"There's no wolf here," he shouted.
"We've better things to do than run all this way for nothing," muttered the angry townsfolk to one another. That night, the shepherd's boy promised his father he would never play such a trick again. But a few days later, as he was watching the sheep, the boy became restless again. Thinking of how amusing his last trick had been, he drew in his breath and shouted, "Wolf! Wolf!" Again, all the villagers came running. But when they saw no wolf, they grew angry again.
"There was a wolf, I swear,"
the shepherd's boy insisted.
"He ran away when he heard you coming."
But no one believed him, and they went home grumbling. The very next day, the shepherd's boy took the sheep to the meadow again. But just as the sheep started to graze, he saw a dark shape with glowing eyes lurking in the shadow of the trees.
"Wolf!" he shouted as loudly as he could.
The animal growled and crept closer.
"Wolf! Wolf!"
cried the frightened boy. But no one came. And the wolf leaped on one of the sheep, dragging it away into the forest. So this has been Lisa Vest from the Farmington Public Library. Today I read Harry McCleary and Zachary Quack, Harry McCleary, Rumpus at the Vet, Harry McCleary's Caterwaul Caper, and Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Please visit the Farmington Public Library's website at www.infoway.org and check our calendar of events for upcoming activities.
This has been Quintos Hana and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.